I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have a little bit of fun with the current state of our professional teams. Yeah, it can get rough out here sometimes. But you know what? We got each other. And we got holidays like Labor Day. And I want to wish you a happy Labor Day. And I also want to ask you to come join the conversation. 800-636-1067. Right now, I want to go to my man John from Fairfax. John, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, Reese?
I'm good. I appreciate you calling in and being with us on this holiday. Mm-hmm. How you celebrating?
Well, I'm about to go get some food here at P.F. Chang's, but first I wanted to call in because I heard a couple of your earlier callers, and they brought up some interesting points about Robert Kraft and the Redskins and Jerry Jones. I'm a lifelong Cowboy fan. I also know Rich Dalrymple, who runs the PR and the communications department. I've known him since college at the University of Miami when he was the SID. I can tell you that because Jerry has his wife and daughter helping run the charity arm and the marketing arm, the problem with the Cowboys in the front office is that they sometimes bring in players like Randy Gregory. The problem is not that they have any kind of a sexual harassment thing going on inside the team. His wife and his daughter would never go for that. I've met them both. As for Robert Kraft, he didn't disgrace the league. He disgraced himself with what he did. And remember, let's be honest, this was after his wife passed away a few years ago and after he got out of a relationship with a gal who was about his son's age. So he was just looking to have a little fun, and obviously he carried a little too far. But it's not something that's pervasive, at least that we know of, inside the Patriots locker room. That's just my opinion. Right. Your thoughts?
Well, John, so you tend to agree. Well, actually, do you agree with my contention that I don't think that the owners would be moved to try and push Dan Snyder out just because I don't think their own streets are that clean?
I agree with you. I totally agree with you because if you look at what happened down in Carolina, he was an 80-year-old owner, and apparently he was looking to kind of get out of football to begin with. So it wasn't so much that the league pushed him out. He was already on his own path to selling, and Tepper came in. And ironically, everybody says, well, why would Ron Rivera want to take this job? I'm sure he asked a lot of questions of Dan Snyder. He probably didn't know as much as what actually happened now, but because of what went on in Carolina, Ron Rivera was probably the best coach that Dan Snyder could have ever hired for this current situation. That's just my opinion, and I hope he gets much better with his health situation.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that, and definitely sending best wishes out to him while you bring it up. Now, John, before you go, your excitement level for this season, 1 to 10. 10 being your normal excitement for the start of an NFL season. Well, where are you at?
It's a 9, and I'll tell you why. I just had my fantasy draft yesterday. I gamble, and I'm usually pretty good at it. And I also am in a survivor pool, which I've won before, a few times, actually. So this is actually a great time of year for me. So as long as they can keep the COVID out of the locker room, I'm a happy camper. And by the way, since my friend now lives in Tampa, I've got plans to go down, if we can ever get the Super Bowl back to what the Super Bowl is, hopefully I'll get in. If not, I'll be hanging out with him down in Tampa in February, which is not a bad thing.
Do you have any Washington football team players on your fantasy team?
I do.
Really?
Yes, I do.
How deep is your league? You got 85 teams in that league?
It's 18 teams. 18.
Wow.
It's a crazy league. I've won it twice. I've been the runner-up, including last year, three other times. I actually drafted late Steven Sims Jr. I think he's going to be a lot like Hunter Renfro and Edelman. I think that Scott Turner seems, if you listen to how he wants to use him, and it seems like he wants to use him as a nice slot guy, and that could be 3 to 5 catches a game for 50 to 80 yards and the occasional touchdown. I mean, he's not going to be a starter. I've got DK Metcalf, and I've got, what's his name, the guy in Tampa from Penn State as my two starting receivers. And I've got Dak Prescott as my QB. So I'm kind of pushing it a little bit. I've got Zach Moss, and I've got Jonathan Taylor as my stud running backs.
All right. Well, look, you surprised me by having one of our hometown talents on your team. I salute you for that, and then I take it right back for having Dak Prescott. You cannot be – I cannot have Cowboys on my fantasy team. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I have had – I've had the ability to bet on the Cowboys when I thought it was a really good bet. I can't do it. I can't.
This is the year you're going to see everything that Dak can do. He's got a loaded talent base. McCarthy is a very good coach. And, you know, let's not forget, he did win a Super Bowl. He's much better than Jason Garrett, who's Mr. Mediocre. And the Giants are going to realize that, you know, as he's their coordinator.
How much is the shame worth for having to root for the Dallas Cowboys? How much is the shame worth?
Well, if I win the league, I win about $550, so I'm happy with that. That's a nice little extra holiday present for me.
Second place, John, I appreciate you.
Be well, you know Rico, by the way. On your music is great. What about a little Chuck Brown in the future? That'd be great, too.
Oh, that would be good. That would be good. I appreciate you for calling in, John, but I feel like you need to hold out for more money. Your pride and self-respect cannot be sold away for $550.
I hear you, buddy. Be well.
All right, John. Have a good one. That was John in Fairfax. I don't know about you guys. I can't do it. Like, I've had Ezekiel Elliott sitting there. I've had Dak sitting there. I've had Dez Bryant back in the day sitting there. I had Tony Romo. I think I got auto-drafted Tony Romo as my quarterback years back. And I traded. I had to trade. I can't do it. Am I weird that I just – that ruins it for me. The whole season is compromised that I have a vested interest in the Cowboys. I cannot just sit here and enjoy them setting fire to themselves like I know they're going to do every year. I need to be able to enjoy that. If we're not going to win, and we're not, I need to be able to enjoy the inevitable Cowboys demise. If I can't enjoy that, what is this? What am I looking forward to? It ain't a Super Bowl. What am I looking forward to? Does that make me weird? I don't know. Maybe I'll ask Chris Russell. He's going to be joining me after the break. You guys can join me as well. You know the number, 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Reese Waters here with your boy, Sean. And joining me will be my good friend Chris Russell, who you just heard sitting in for the Junkies, doing a little bit of double duty, also doing the updates. Is there anything that you can't do, Chris Russell, other than maybe dance with the Temptations?
You know, I love the Temptations. I don't know if I could dance with them. And if I did try that, I think I would probably dishonor everything great about the Temptations and Motown music.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree with you. I'd be right there behind you.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you could dance a whole lot better than me. I'm not doing the world justice by dancing. I can tell you that much.
Well, you know what? I've had an interesting last couple of callers where there's folks out there that are feeling bad for Dan Snyder. Just under the guise of feeling like he's being targeted because this is the kind of behavior mm-hmm. that they feel like would be accepted if he were at the helm of a winning franchise, and pointing to other owners and their misdeeds and whatnot. Where do you come out on that?
I can't disagree with that more. The type of behavior, the type of antics, the type of culture that was allowed to, live and fester and grow and reach in every tentacle of that building, Reese. I'm not saying that some version of that, some form of that doesn't happen in other buildings. I truly, truly don't believe that it's as widespread, as, omnipresent as it was and is in the Washington football building and has been. And I worked there every day for five years, or almost every day. And I saw it in front of my very own eyes. I lived it. Again, I can't say some form or whatever hasn't existed in other organizations. Of course, I would be naive to think that. We saw Jerry Richardson down in Carolina. We've seen it in, many different forms and fashions. But I don't believe that, if they were winning 11 or 12 games, that would absolve Dan Snyder, number one. Number two, quite honestly, he and Bruce Allen are very, very, very lucky that it took this long for it to come out. This stuff really should have come out a long time ago, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it is hard to believe. And then you look back and you see that there was sprinklings of this that had been reported. And, this little bit seeps out here. I've been surprised in looking back at some of the breadcrumbs that have popped out over the last couple of years that it didn't reach a critical mass earlier. I'm not exactly sure why that didn't happen.
Well, I could just speak for myself. I mean, again, a lot of us, and I don't want to pretend that I'm the only one, because that's not accurate. But, a lot of us in the media that have been around that building for a long time, Reese, knew a lot of this stuff, heard a lot of this stuff, was told a lot of this stuff, saw some examples of it. But the kind of reporting and the kind of investigation that went in on the Washington Post story is something that, is far-reaching, number one, and has many, many, many legal issues. So I'm not surprised that it took as long as it did for this to come out. What I'm saying is it should have come out earlier because, I'm surprised the people that came forward took as long as they did, quite honestly, to push the mission forward. But these things do take time for people to feel comfortable and for people also to get around NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, and all of that. So, again, even though a lot of us knew that something nefarious was going on, bad stuff was going on, that it was a bad building, a bad culture, again, I'm not, I'm a little surprised that it didn't come out earlier, but I'm not surprised when you talk about the whole scope of the reporting and the investigation that it took upwards of 2 years for the Post to be working on this to put together all of this stuff. And that's just time that, you know, I know I didn't have. I know, you know, individual reporters just didn't have, because we have a crazy ass football team to cover as well.
Yes, we most certainly do. And on that note, look, you're a guy who knows, you know this city and you know this town, and you cover it from a lot of different angles. So one of my thoughts, and I kind of got to this on the wings of John Thompson and memorializing him and all that he brought. So I don't know if you actually had any thoughts or memories of John, Big John. I would love to hear them.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'd love to share them with you if you want them now. Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked with Coach Thompson for almost 3 years, from July 2010 through, I think, his retirement. I can't remember exactly when it was, in 2012. From radio, over at, the old ESPN 980, now the Team 980. And, you know, while I didn't work with him every day in person, you know, several times a week we would talk on the radio, you know, because I was based a lot of times at the facility, and he was based in Rockville, Maryland. But during the off season, when I would have to go, to the facility, or I should say from the facility to the headquarters, I would, you know, work with him and Doc and a lot, you know, doing updates, doing reports, doing interviews, working on breaking stories, what have you. So I don't want to pretend like we were buddy-buddy or best friends. I Coach held a very tight circle. But one thing that I loved about him was he had an incredibly sharp sense of humor, and he could bust your onions in a hurry. And that was generally a sign that he liked you, and that he appreciated how you kind of went about your business, because if he didn't, he would also make your life miserable. And, you know, Coach would show up 4 minutes before a show and roll in. And a lot of people, you know, didn't like that in the industry, because, you know, that's kind of an insult to what we do in terms of preparation and whatever. But I would always answer it this way. He's Coach frickin' John Thompson. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he can do whatever he wants. He's a legend. I was happy to get to work with him for a couple of years. I didn't, you know, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, didn't really keep in contact with him. But I kept, you know, through various friends of ours, mutual friends of ours, you know, kept in some sort of updated status, with him. And, you know, Washington, D.C., Georgetown, and the basketball world will never be the same. And that man did a lot for a lot of people, and, you know, that we've all heard from: Allen Iverson and Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, and Dikembe Mutombo, and so many others. And quite honestly, people around this area, you know, and college basketball and NBA basketball in general, and what he did for Georgetown, you know, I don't know if it'll ever be duplicated.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right about that. And, one of the questions that I've been thinking, do you consider us a basketball town? I actually consider us a basketball town, even though the Washington football team are the most popular team.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the case everywhere in America, probably, other than I've been saying the New York Yankees and the Lakers. I might add the St. Louis Cardinals, although they don't have a football team. So actually that doesn't count. I would say the Lakers and the Yankees are probably only teams that I can think of that supersede the NFL team in those locales. But that doesn't mean everywhere is a football town. I think we're actually a basketball town, as indicated by the what's going on the youth level, the high school level, mm-hmm. and, of course, the college level. Where do you, come out on that?
It's interesting because I think when I first moved here back in 2007, so I've been here 13 and change, and I've been working in the local media since 2009, before that at SiriusXM. Everyone used to tell me how great of a basketball town it was, how insane it was. Oh, just watch, when the Wizards are good, it'll be crazy. Georgetown, obviously, was still, you know, very relevant at that point, even though they had had a small drop-off, you know, under different coaches in between Coach Thompson and then, you know, JT3 and you know, and then Maryland with Gary Williams, and Virginia, I guess, still technically considered part of the area. I would say this. I think it's a good basketball town when everything is going really well and when teams are super competitive and right there in the thick of things. I think it's a good basketball town. I don't know if I would say and consider it a great basketball town. But I think it's a good basketball team town when things are going well. But here's my concern, Reese. You know, Georgetown right now is irrelevant. Maryland is good, but I have never sensed that there is this never-ending passion regionally for Maryland. I think Maryland alums are very passionate, and a lot of them are in the media, but I don't think there's a lot of fans for Maryland, quite honestly, that aren't alums. And I don't sense any buzz, any interest, any juice at all. And I understand why, but I don't sense anything for the Wizards. Nothing. I mean, and maybe that's because John Wall's been gone for so long and poor Bradley Beal's been left to clean up the carnage. And they haven't been good enough the last couple of years. But even when they were making it to the second round of the playoffs, Reese, you know, game sevens, I mean, sure, there were people interested. Sure, there were people that were buzzing. Sure, there were people that were talking about it. But that's the same for every sport. I'm talking to me, a town that gets identified as a basketball town or football town or sport, hockey town, whatever. You got to be talking about that sport and having passion for it year round. And the only sport that I think has year-round passion or interest is the Washington NFL franchise. And even that has tremendously waned for so long because of the horror show that the organization has been for 20-plus years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I see your point. I stop short of I definitely stop short of characterizing us as a football town, because you have places like, you know, West Texas and, you know, Pennsylvania and this is not that. But when it comes to basketball, I felt like on all levels it was something that we identify with. Maybe it's Prince George's County. Maybe we need to be our own entity unto ourselves. We certainly talk enough trash to be. I appreciate you, Chris Russell. When are you on next?
That's a great question. Well, in just 30 seconds, when you go to the update, number one. And outside of that, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't have the answer to.
All right, fair enough. But I'm sure you have stuff you're working on for SI.
Oh, sure, right? SI and, you know, my podcast and all that. It never ends, man. Never ends.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey,
thanks for
joining me, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that was Chris Russell. You're going to hear him probably in just a few seconds doing the update. But I want to hear from you on the other side of all that, 800-636-1067. I'm Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Where do you come out on the Labor Day white pants thing?
I don't necessarily agree with it, especially going to a barbecue or whatever. You know, going to a barbecue and, you know, barbecue sauce, ketchup, mustard, and all of that. I don't really agree with it.
I just mean the whole fact that they want to come in my closet and dictate that I can't wear white pants after Labor Day.
Well, after Labor Day.
After Labor Day, you're not supposed to wear white pants after Labor Day.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
Did not know that.
You know what? Well, I apologize for oppressing you, my brother, because don't believe the hype. I want to know who all these people are that got all these pants that they could take all the white ones out of rotation for a whole 5 months, 6 months. You going to come give me some pants to wear? Look, white pants are a staple of my rotation. You can't shorten up my rotation. My legs are amazing. They deserve to be seen in white pants. They have earned that right through merit, hard work, and sensuality. My legs are literally the only part of my body that I don't crop out of the picture. Half the pictures I got just waist down, just legs. That's all I'm proud of. That's why I like pictures with kids. Bam, thighs, knees, shins. You ever wonder why seasonal depression hits as soon as white pants go away? Gloomy pants, that's why. Now I got to give a goodbye speech to all the seersucker I own today, singing like Wanya from Boys to Men. How do I say goodbye? Who made up the no white after Labor Day rule? I'll show up at their house dressed like Colonel Sanders in the fall. Life is too short for goofy fashion rules from before it was color TV. Your whole generation wore shades of gray as far as I'm concerned. Y'all can't tell me nothing. Tell me I can't wear white pants after Labor Day. Y'all wildin'. Get at me. 800-636-1067. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. By the way, joining or right after me will be J.P. Finley, who's sitting in for Chad Dukes. I hope you guys had a beautiful Labor Day. By the way, this is the day of the year where we honor the contributions and sacrifices of the working men and women of America by taking a day off to put some meat on the grill. And for the rest of y'all, move your white pants to the back of the closet. But not me. I don't subscribe to that nonsense. I want you guys to think about all the sacrifices that folks made back in the 1800s. That's when the Labor Day origins began in the Industrial Revolution, where they put in 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and hazardous work environments, and no OSHA. So keep that in mind next time your alarm clock goes off. The ghosts of workers past are laughing at you complaining about being tired or having to get up. They did the heavy lifting so we wouldn't have to. So you guys enjoy your day off and be sure to raise a barbecue rib or two up for them. I've been Reese Waters. Find me at Reese Waters on social media. Get up DC every weekday on WSA9. Keep it locked at 106.7.7. J.P. Finley sitting in for Chad Dukes. Next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.